Good morning again, church. And at this time, our kiddos are going to head downstairs. And as our kiddos head downstairs, if you could open your Bible up to Luke chapter 9. What are you doing? No. So if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 9 is where we're going to go back to today, but we're going to go a little bit later into the chapter, and we're going to start in verse 57. And if you've been following along with the reading of the book, Not a Fan, you've made it pretty well to the end. And after this week, we only have a few more weeks in this particular book and in this series. And I hope that you've been blessed by this book. I hope you've been challenged by it, encouraged by it. And I hope that you've really kind of pressed into this idea and this lifestyle of truly following Jesus with all of your heart, all of your life, all of your soul, all of your being, and everything that you have. And that is the ultimate goal, is to become truly Christ-following. And as we come to an end of this series, we're going to go through a few little encounters that Jesus has in the last part of this book, or in this chapter, Luke chapter 9. And today we're going to start right there in verse 57. And Luke chapter 9, verse 57, this is what happens. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to sacrifice my life and my well-being. I'm ready to sacrifice friends, family. I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Don't we all want to make that same confession? I mean, we all want to say the very same thing. Jesus, wherever you go, I will follow. Does anyone want to say that? And truly, do we really want to live it? I mean, I would hope so. And if not, then I'm glad you're here. Because what we'll see today is a couple of hang-ups on fulfilling this confession or this claim. So he says, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. So Jesus, being Jesus, and this is how he responds in verse 58. He says, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, whenever you read that from one verse to the next, you might be thrown off a little bit. Like, here he is coming up to Jesus saying, I will follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus says to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To be honest with you, can you raise your hand if you'll be honest enough? Like, that really doesn't make sense for Jesus to answer with that, does it? I mean, anyone else kind of confused with that response? Like, I didn't ask you that. I told you I would follow you. And to be honest with you, you know, just reading that at surface level, you'll find that Jesus' response didn't really make sense, but why would it ever make sense for him to ask a question in response to another question? And there's always more to it. And sometimes we have to dig and we have to lean in and we have to press into, you know, his word and press into his presence in our lives to really understand what he's saying. So the man comes up, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm excited. Like, I've seen you change people. I've seen you raise, you know, people from being lame or being paralyzed. I've seen you open the eyes of the blind. I've seen you open the ears of the deaf. I've seen you heal people. I've seen you heal the little girl. I've seen some things, Jesus, in you, and I'm ready to follow you. What is it that you have for me? Where is it that we're going to go? What is it that's going to happen? And Jesus responds with this: foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And I guess the only reason I can make sense of this response is that Jesus was telling him everything he needed to know about following him in one sentence. And that would be summed up, and he didn't come out and say it this way, but it would be summed up like this. If you are wanting to really follow me wherever I go, you must be willing to sacrifice everything that you have and everything that you know. Like, if you really want to follow me, you must understand that I am homeless, that I have no home, I have no earthly possessions, I am just going and taking my love and taking my word of redemption, restoration, and healing to the people. And if you really want to follow me, you must understand that you must be willing to sacrifice everything and everyone. Everything. You must be willing to get over yourself, to deny yourself, as we've mentioned over the last few weeks, to pick up your cross and follow me. And the only way that you can truly follow me wherever I go, like you claimed in the last verse, is if you understand that it will not be what you thought it would be. It will look differently than you had planned. You might not be able to build the 401k. You might not have the 10 kids or the fancy car. You might not have, and you might not get, and you might not receive. But if you're really willing to follow me, you will have everything that you need. I will give you the strength that you need. I will give you the wisdom that you need. I will give you the words to speak, and I will give you life and life more abundantly. You must be willing to first sacrifice everything, though. And I think that's one of the things that we have issues with. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm right there with anyone today. All right, there have been some conditions I've put on my commitment to following Jesus. And we all like the word, the same word, but or if. And I think we could finish the sentence like this. I will follow you wherever you go, but not in my finances. I work hard for that. That title or the name on that check is to me. I don't know if I can really follow you and fulfilling those words and obeying the command that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know if I can really follow you and my lifestyles out of the church because I like fun. I like to live this way. This brings me comfort. This brings me pleasure. I don't know if I can really follow you there, Jesus. I don't know. I want to follow you wherever you go, but... And we could go on and on and on and on and on. I'm not going to beat a dead horse today. But I do know that we all... And I'm just as guilty as anyone here on putting conditions on our commitment to following Jesus. We all have. I mean, anybody else have you ever kind of put conditions? I'll follow you wherever, but there. I'm going to follow you wherever, but I'm not going to be willing to spread the love of God in my workplace. Like, the people are rude to me. I don't really agree with them all the time. I'll follow you wherever, but as soon as I walk in there, it's all about me. It's all for me. And I'll pick up, as Kyle Eidelman says, we drop Jesus off at the door and leave him in the car, and we say, hey, I'll pick you up around 5, all right, and I'll take you home. And that's kind of the conditions in which we have. Whenever we're around some people, we love Jesus. I want to follow you, but the people that need him the most, we're not willing to show him the greatest because we have put conditions on. And I think that today we want to just discuss two big conditions, two big thoughts that we have put on as on our commitment to following him. And just two big ones. And the first one is the unknown, the unknown. You know, I love the idea of following Jesus, but and I would say everyone here, I hope, would love to claim to be a Christian and have this desire to follow Jesus wherever he may go. Everybody like that? Like, you just raise your hand? Everybody awake today? We good? I don't need to be running, waking people up today or throwing water bottles or anything. I would say that we all love the idea and all have that desire to follow him. Like, I mean, I want to follow him and I want people to see in me. You know, I've always said that I have a desire to preach the gospel. And I want people, whenever I die, and if I don't fix myself, my wife will make sure that's a lot sooner than later. But whenever I die, I want people to recognize that I was a loving father, loving husband, and a bold proclaimer of God's word. That's what I want. But most importantly, if I could sum it up, that he followed Jesus wherever he was. Like, that's where I want, you know, on my tombstone one day. Michaela, pay attention to this. You could probably put a lot of things on that thing, but I want one thing on it. A committed follower of Jesus Christ wherever I went, wherever I was, in every area of my life, even though I fail him. And the first thing I want to discuss this morning is the fear of the unknown. Because the fear of the unknown will sometimes cripple us before we ever take a step of faith. You know, the fear of the unknown will keep us right here whenever I see the harvest is out there. You know, the harvest is out there. The work needs to happen out there. However, the fear of the unknown of how many hours I'm going to put in and how many difficult conversations I'm going to have with people, how many, you know, just rough around the edges people are and just how, you know, honest they are about some things, how rejective of me. Like, I have this fear, to be honest with you, I have this fear of rejection. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I have this fear of rejection. Like, I love to proclaim God's word and his goodness. I love to preach his word, and I love to, you know, preach, you know, either behind a pulpit or wherever it is. However, I have this fear of rejection every time I go and try to take a step of faith and to preach his word with boldness. Because I have a fear that what if they don't appreciate the word? What if they don't like what I had to say? You know, I just have this fear of rejection. So sometimes that fear of rejection will cripple me. And I'm not bold enough to proclaim the word like God has given it. And sometimes I don't preach it like I know He is desiring me to preach it because I just have this fear of rejection. I have this fear of knowing what it's really going to look like. When I was driving to Dollar General on, I forget the highway there in Hubert, North Carolina, before Michaela and I moved back to Missouri, I said, okay, I'll follow you wherever you go, but not Potosi. I grew up in West County School District. I hated Potosi. My wife was from Potosi, which meant all of her family and all of my family was from Potosi. I said, I'll follow you wherever you go, but not there. But not there. So long story short, here we are 4 years later in Potosi. But God has blessed us in Potosi, and God has really changed us in Potosi. However, there was that fear of the unknown. Okay, I was driving in the car and I said, I don't care where it is, Lord, I'm going to go. I didn't know what it would look like. I didn't know where we would be. I didn't know if we would face life threats. If we, you know, I hear the preacher say, you know, I've had my life threatened because of people. And as I told Michaela, I think the reason people have life threats whenever they truly are in ministry is because they actually get involved and try to help people. And some of those people are not willing to receive any help. Therefore, they attack you. And what is the fear of the unknown? Like, what is it going to really look like if I say to you, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, wherever you call, I'll answer, wherever you lead, I'll follow. What is it going to look like? And sometimes the fear of unknown, of the unknown, will keep us right here saying, you know, I love the idea of that, and it's good that those people are, and I would love to be like them. However, I just don't know what it's going to look like. I just don't know how we're really going to make it if we you know, really give to God what is His, and if we truly live with Him in our marriage and in our finances. I just don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how it's going to look trying to evangelize to people that I don't always get along with, and those people are not always receptive of what I have to say. I don't know how it's going to look. Therefore, I will remain crippled and remain right here because I am just bound to fear. Well, as the song says, and as the Bible says, fear is just simply a liar. And we must take steps of faith in order to ever see the promises of God come to fruition in our lives, just as He promised Abraham to make his name great. Do you remember what He asked Abraham to do? He said, I want you to leave everything that you know, and I want you to go to a new land, a land that I will show you. That's what He promised Abraham. I will make your name great. As you leave your family, as you leave the house of your father, I want you to go to a new land and I will show you. And what happens is God didn't tell Abraham, okay, these are the directions and this is going to be what it's like when you get there and this is how it's going to look when you get there. He just simply said, go, leave, go. And because of your obedience and because of your submission to my word, I will show you when you get there. And it's kind of like, as if some of us are, we're right on the edge, like, do I, you know, we're right there, like, do I really, I don't know. And what I want you to know is that the fear of unknown will cripple you. However, faith If you take the step of faith right here, like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's one little step at a time. And as Abraham has left everything behind him, all of his family, all of his livelihood, all of his, you know, people that he grew up with, everything that he knew, he just said, okay, Lord, wherever you call, I'm going to go. I'm going to follow you because you have asked me and commanded me to go. And you've made me a promise to make my name great. And the reality is that God has promised us not to make us a father of many nations, and not to promise to us to be sitting on a throne one day like David would be. But God has promised us to give us everything that we would ever need according to His glorious riches. So you have the fear of the unknown? Well, let me just remind you of the facts of the known. The facts of the known is that my God came down from His heavenly throne to put on flesh and bone, to carry a cross for me. So on the side of a mountain on Calvary hung my sin, shame, fear, and everything. That's what I do know. And I do know that greater is He who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Therefore, I can no longer be crippled by fear. I must take steps of faith in what is known. And what is known, that He is bigger, stronger, and greater than anything I will ever face or any trial I will ever go through. He is the voice that calms the seas in the middle of storms, and He is the one that walks with me and fights for me. So I can't allow fear of the unknown to cripple me any longer. I must put my faith in the facts that are known. And the facts that are known is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is greater. He is worthy. Therefore, He has gifted me with His Spirit so that whatever comes my way can never bind me to this world, can never bind me in fear any longer. So whenever I claim to want to follow Jesus, when I tell Him, I will follow you wherever you go. Yes, there. Yes to the neighbors. Yes to the worker that's always bitter. Yes to in my finances. Yes in my giving of my time. Yes, I'll go to that family member. I'll go to that friend. Yes, I'll go to that person in the community who needs to receive your love. Yes, I'll go. I'll go because you have called me, and not just because you have called me, but because you have given me the ability and the power to proclaim your word with clarity, with boldness. And I know that if you are working, then it's less on me and it's all about you and allow you to do. So I'm going to follow you wherever you go, Lord. Abraham followed him and followed the command and demonstrated obedience and faith as he left his family and was willing to follow God wherever he called. And the beautiful thing was, whenever Abraham got to moving is when God started to show him just what it was going to look like. And it wasn't until we decided to leave, or some of you have decided to leave old lifestyles, old habits to truly follow Jesus, that's when He starts to reveal to you, because our obedience opens up revelation. Our obedience to His commands, our obedience to His word opens up this revelation that God gives to us of who He is, what He has for us. But it's not until we take the first step. It's not until we actually move to wherever He is going. And another thing that I thought about whenever it comes to following Jesus wherever He goes is this idea of not just the fear of the unknown, but the feeling of being uncomfortable. Anybody ever like being uncomfortable? Don't we love it? I love being uncomfortable. I love just sitting in a corner awkwardly waving at people I don't really know, you know, but I'm supposed to be social and smile, and I don't know, you know, like I'm always uncomfortable. I'll just tell you, I'm just an awkward dude, all right? I'm always awkward. I'm always uncomfortable. I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong things, which I do. I'm always afraid I'm going to point someone in the wrong direction at times, which I do. And I'll just tell you, there have been moments that I have spoken some horrible, horrible things to people who are in desperate need. I told a family one time, and I'm not going to get into the details, at a funeral home, "Have a great night," as I walked out of the door. Have a great night. Have a great night, guys. Or as someone was coming into the post office to buy stamps, she said, "I need 2 stamps to send these cards because my niece just passed away. Forgive me, Lord," but I looked her right in the eye and I said, "No kidding."
I mean, I didn't mean that. I said, you know, I hate to hear that about that. And I'm uncomfortable. I'm awkward. I'm a horrible dude. This is who I am. All right. I'm horrible. Don't ever try to have a, you know, really powerful conversation with me because I'm going to say something and you're going to, you know, question my very being and whether I'm still here or not. This is who I am. But I'm not just talking about, you know, those awkward conversations of being uncomfortable, but being uncomfortable, recognizing that you really don't think you have the ability to take His word to anyone. Knowing that there are people in your lives, friends and family, coworkers, neighbors, that really need to hear the gospel and see the goodness of God's grace through you, and they need to receive it. I believe that there are plenty of people who have never preached sermons because they were not willing to overcome the crippling, you know, of fear and, you know, the fear of the unknown. And I believe that there are plenty of missionaries who will never leave their hometown because of the fear of the unknown, but also feeling uncomfortable, like I'm unworthy to share God's word. I'm unworthy to go to those people. Like, it makes me uncomfortable because I don't always get along with those people, and those people are never really receptive of what I have to say or what Christians have to say. Therefore, I am already uncomfortable thinking about the idea. Therefore, I'm not really going to take the steps and be bold, be courageous, and overcome that feeling of being uncomfortable. And I shared this passage this week at a youth camp, but it's kind of like when God called Joshua to be strong and courageous. He called him to be strong and courageous because God was leading Joshua into the promised land, a land that He had set before him. And the only way that we can ever reach new levels in our faith, and the only way that we can ever reach new lands, you know, per se, figuratively, in our walk with Christ, the only way that we can ever reach new gifts, new abilities, is if we have the courage to say, even though I'm uncomfortable, I'll be courageous. Even though I don't think I have the skill set to do what it is that God is calling me to do, I'm willing to follow You wherever You go. I'm willing to be bold. I'm willing to be strong and courageous. Therefore, I will get up and I will go. Therefore, I will sacrifice everything and everyone to follow You, Lord. Jesus is literally telling this man in the book of in Luke chapter 9, you must be willing to sacrifice everything and everyone. So the comfort of what's around you and the comfort of knowing what's going to come next, you know, the 9-to-5 and everything around you, you must be willing, not that I'm going to pull you from it, but you must be willing to sacrifice it if the time comes that I call you out of it. Because I love to have a schedule. If you ask my wife, my day is planned by the half hour. You know, I will be home at approximately 8:15, therefore at 8:30 I need to have breakfast, and at 8:45 or 9 o'clock I need to jump in the shower to make it back to work on time by 10:15. I mean, I just like to know what's coming next. But the reality is, God's not always going to call you out of what you're in right now, but you must be willing to sacrifice it if the time ever was to come. So whenever you say, I'll follow you wherever you go, He's not just going to start telling you to go all over the world, however He may. He's not going to call you to this county or to that state, you know, tomorrow, however He may. We just must make up our minds to say, okay, Christ, You are my King, You are my Messiah, You were the one that paid the price for me. I give You my life, and I am willing to go and follow You wherever You go. Even though it's unknown to me right now what it'll look like, even though it's kind of making me feel uncomfortable, I will go. And I've shared this numerous times, but you know, the more comfortable I feel in my life, I think the less I walk in my calling. So the more comfortable I am, just life's good. Clocked in, clocked out, here I am, dinner time, dinner's in the oven, dinner's on the grill, coffee after dinner, sitting on the front porch, that's great and that's beautiful. I'm not saying you can never have those days, because I have plenty of those days. However, if I've never been uncomfortable, if I've never felt this feeling of being uncomfortable, and I always feel comfort, I may just be walking alongside of, but not actually in the calling that God has for me. Because the more comfort around, maybe the more lack of calling in my life, the more uncomfortable or the lack of comfort in my life may actually just result in me walking faithfully and obediently in the calling that God has for me. God never called us to step in our comfort zones. He's always called us to step out of our comfort zones. So in order for me to say, here I am, Lord, Send me wherever. I will follow you wherever you go. I give you my life. We must be willing to sacrifice comfort. We must be willing to sacrifice what's known, what's easy. We must be willing to sacrifice everything and everyone. You know, and the only way that you can truly, the only way that I can do it as well, to truly sacrifice everything, be willing to sacrifice it all, is to simply cling on to the words and the promises of God. That's it. The promises of God state, I will always be with you. I will be with you. He promised Abraham to show him, just as he will promise us to show us what it's going to look like one day, what it's going to look like, where we'll be one day. Just as he promised, you know, in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, as Joshua was about to lead the people into the promised land, he said, get up, arise, and go. I will be with you wherever you go. So the only way that I could truly live by faith and not by fear, to walk into the unknown and what's maybe uncomfortable, the only way that I can truly wake up every day and say, okay, Lord, it's your day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, not me. It's for you. It's in you. It's by you. I must be willing to cling to your promises that you will be with me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Just as Jesus promised his followers there as he was about to ascend into heaven, he said, and I will be with you until the end of the age. So the idea of following Jesus wherever he goes, the only way that we are really willing, that I think that we're really, you know, able and willing to commit to that confession, is to cling to the promises of God. And what you must understand about the promises of God is that as you cling to them, they will comfort you. As I hold on to them, that he'll never leave me in this storm. He'll never forsake me, even though I have done wrong. He is still my God. He still loves me with everything of him. And I was worth dying for. As I cling to that promise, I will actually feel comforted. Because as David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, why did he fear no evil? Because God was with him. And then he goes on next. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Though it may be different, though it may be the unknown, though it may be uncomfortable to follow Jesus to that neighbor or to that friend or to that family or in my marriage, I must understand and cling to the promises of God. And the longer I cling, the longer I cling to them and hold true to them and stand firm and remain immovable on the Word and on the promises of God, the longer I will actually be comforted, because Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the age. What is that? I'm serious. What is that? Is that a watch? That ain't a bomb or anything, is it? Holy grief. No, I'm just kidding. But as David walked through the valley, I'm just awkward. I'm sorry. All right. I'm just sleep deprived this week. All right. God forgive me and you forgive me, and we'll be back next week strong and ready to go. All right. But as David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and he said, I will fear no evil. So here we are, and we see that in order for me to truly sacrifice everything and be willing to call it quits and whatever, to follow Jesus, if he does call to that family, if he does call to that friend, if he does call to that county, if he does call to that state, or even if he does call to that country, if he does call to that profession of preaching the gospel or sharing his word in music or teaching or whatever, in order for me to truly sacrifice and be willing to follow him wherever he goes, I must take one step at a time. Every day I walk, even though it may be in a storm, it may be in a valley, I will fear nothing.
Even though I'm not really skilled, you know, to do this, or I don't really have the abilities right now, we must understand that God will always uphold us and strengthen us in His victorious right hand. So anytime anything is against me or anytime I fear, I must remain faithful and take steps of faith on His word and on His promises that He will never forsake me. He will always be with me. And that when my God is for me, what can be against me? Who can be against me? And I don't know if there's anybody in this place today that is ever been in this position of putting conditions on your commitment to Jesus, but I want you to know that God loves you unconditionally. And in order for us to truly sacrifice everything and be willing to commit to Him faithfully and obediently, we must have an unconditional love for Him as well as an unconditional wherever you go, wherever you call, I follow type of commitment. And I think that the fear of the unknown, and the feeling of being uncomfortable for the name of Jesus are the two biggest buts, and I cannot lie. As far as, don't laugh at that. I'm sleep deprived. My mind is it's fried right now. All right, what little there is, those are the two biggest buts. And I do believe that in order to truly follow Him, we must step. And maybe some here have said, you know what? I love the idea, and I really want to follow Him. I really want to be that disciple. I really want to, you know, see Christ in my marriage and out of my marriage. I want to see, you know, people looking at my marriage as a light. I really want these things. I really want to be able to change the world around me. I want to follow Him wherever He calls. I really like the idea of being committed in such a way I'm willing to sacrifice everything and everyone. But some of you, maybe your conditions are, but I don't know how it's going to work. But some of your conditions may be, I've never truly surrendered my heart to Jesus. I've never really kind of went all in on this idea, or I've never really followed through with it. You know, I like the idea. I think it's great. It'll change my life, and I see people doing it all over. But, you know, like, those are conversations we could have over a table, right? You know, those are conversations we could have over a table. And I think that, you know, if we were to have a conversation with Jesus over a table, we would be telling Him, you know, Jesus, I think You are awesome. And what You did for me was incredible. Like, thank You. Thank You for Your bloodshed. And I think that if we were to sit at a table and if we were to tell Him, I will follow You wherever You go, but, you know, like, not there, but not in that area, but not with that, you know, fear, but not with what I've been through, but with what I don't have, but. I think Jesus would be standing up, banging His hands on the table and saying, but I have called You, but I will be with You, but I will strengthen You, but I will give You everything You need, but I have already paid the price for You, but I have already died on the cross for You, but I have given You My Spirit, but I left the tomb empty, but, stop giving me some buts, and just give me some commitment. I think He would just sit there banging His hands on the table, giving us every reason why we could follow Him with everything that we have and change the world around us. I think He would sit there and say, but where You lack, I am strong. But where You don't have, I am never ending. But You're scared, I walk with You, I stand before You, and I follow You. And I've already fought the enemies for You, but I am the door, meaning that when You walk through the open doors that I have for You in this life, I will shut them behind me, and I will stand strong as Your door, meaning whatever comes against You must first go through me. But what do You have to do and say to me as an excuse? But I am everything You need. But I have given You everything You will ever need in this life, and I will work all things together for your good. Even though they may not always be good, and they may not always work out the way you thought. But there we are. But, and some people here, maybe you ever been in the but stage? I've been in the but stage. And sometimes it's hard to come out of the but stage. And I think what Jesus would say to us today, if He was here, is
is he would say, some of you have loved the idea of this and you've pictured it, what it would look like. You've pictured having coffee with your spouse and reading the Bible together. Can I just tell you, there's not much better than that? There is nothing better than that. There is nothing better than going to take a big bite out of a cheeseburger and my 4-year-old yelling at me, "Dang! We forgot to pray and thank God for this food." There's nothing better than being able to speak with someone about the love that God has for them and their lives changing forever. There's nothing better than to fulfill the calling that God has for us. But, and I want you to know that he would be saying, "But I have given you everything." It's up to you, church. It's up to me to truly step out, take those steps of faith and say, wherever, yep, there, yep, yep, right there, I will follow. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that even though we are flawed and